This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A move was made yesterday by the Cubs with the decision to non-tender Addison Russell. He is an ex-Cub. Here to talk about that and more is Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune. He is on Twitter at MD Gonzalez. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Gonzo, I guess this is something that a decision was made a while ago that just kind of became official yesterday, was it not?
Yeah, I think you phrased it right. We all knew what was coming down the road, especially with how his season did not crystallize the way he or the team would have wanted, and then you look at what transpired in the previous season. It was pretty obvious this is the direction they were going to go in.
Let's just play the hypothetical, because you guys have said it both, and I think you're right that this decision was made a while ago. Addison Russell had played better. Would they have looked to move him in the season? You know, is that an asset they actually could have capitalized on in a baseball sense?
Possibly, but I mean, you look at now, and the market's so flooded with middle infielders, especially second baseman. I think he would have had a really gone off the charts hitting-wise. And keep in mind, you know, Zobris was gone. Second base was a real issue for him. So he might have been too valuable to move at that point.
At the moment, second base is an issue for a team that is, at least purportedly, still in its contend for a championship window here. Nico Hoerner probably projects as a second baseman. We know David Bote can play second base. I don't know if the Cubs can really declare themselves as serious about this if they trot out either one at the position. Is this something where you got to go get a Whit Merrifield or make a move to get somebody more representative of a contender there?
I'm of that belief right now. I do think they have to do it for two reasons. One is get somebody more established, a guy who can really help you there and address some of the issues. You know, we all know about their lack of contact issues and putting the ball in play, and maybe being a little more athletic. And then on the flip side, Nico Hoerner did a terrific job in the 3 months he was up, but the 3 weeks he was up, but that's a small sample size. You know, and I think David Bote might play better next year, but as an everyday guy, he's still got to do it. And he's been pretty valuable off the bench, although he struck out quite a bit. Contact was an issue, but I just think that they're better served going out and getting a guy who's more established and can address the needs.
How much of their offseason plans are on hold until we find out about Chris Bryant's free agent eligibility?
I still think they're trying to move some pieces. I hate to use the word pieces. Move some players and address some needs, getting guys back. But yeah, I think that the third base market is kind of one that's unique. You know, you read yesterday where Anthony Rendon's a big target of the Rangers. If he were to go there sooner rather than later, which I kind of doubt because of his representation, then maybe the dominoes start to fall. But I still think that the Cubs are really aggressive trying to address needs. And then when the third base situation is resolved, at least Bryant's arbitration hearing is resolved, and they'll move accordingly.
What do you know about the dynamics of the coaching staff as it's currently constructed and under construction now that they have a new first base coach, a new bench coach, a new manager, a new bullpen coach? Everything is different. Is it going to operate similarly? Is it going to operate in standard fashion? Or do we just have to wait it out to see how it's all going to work?
Youth and technology, I think those are the two things. You look at that staff, I think Mike Borzello might be the oldest guy there. I don't even think he's 50 yet. And all the other members of the staff are much younger. And then you add on that all these guys, a lot of these guys have technology-driven backgrounds instead of playing experience, and I think that's another factor. So you're going to have a staff that's it's going to be united in the sense that They're all on board with the numbers, crunching the numbers. You'll probably see more shifts. We didn't see many shifts during the Joe Maddon era, and a lot of that was due to Joe thinking that the pitcher always had the option to make the call. And you had veterans like Lackey and Arrieta who frowned on shifts quite a bit. But with this group, I think you're going to see more shifts, more of the stuff that you see with a lot of the data-driven teams, such as the Dodgers and Astros.
What do we know about the arbitration, about this process, this grievance process between Bryant and the Cubs? I know that other players, you know, you always get told don't go to your arbitration hearing because you don't, you know, you're not going to like what the team has to say about you. Is there a typical process that was followed here? I wonder if, you know, a bad mood could have been started between one side or the other, given what they've got to talk about in that sit down.
Are you talking about the hearing in New York or the regular arbitration process?
I guess mostly the New York one, but I suppose Gonzalez, I mean, you tell me, I would suppose both would probably play into that kind of feelings issue between the two sides.
Yeah, I think the players are well coached by their agents when they go to a regular arbitration process. And in the case of Bryant in New York, it's pretty much over service time and whether they thought he was ready and not sent down because he needed to work on things, as opposed to the case that they wanted to curb his service time so he would have another year of control with the Cubs. That's kind of a different thing, and I think both sides understand where that's coming from. But it's a big case because it affects a lot of guys. It affects the future of baseball, really, and especially with the CBA expiring in 2 years. But in the case of a regular arbitration hearing that, you know, they have in February when guys go to hearings, the players are usually coached up by the agent saying, listen, you're going to hear a lot of negative stuff about you. It's all, you know, numbers. They'll manipulate the numbers, but the agents will do the same on the behalf of their client.
Nicholas Castellanos was disproportionately important to the Cubs' run scoring last year. It was really crazy looking at how alone he was as a productive hitter for a long period of time. It also seems really unlikely that he returns to the Cubs. What do they do to replace what he meant when he shouldn't have meant as much as he did?
And that's a great question, because I've gone back and forth in terms of, okay, what do you do? Can you get a center fielder who can set the table frequently enough at the top of the order where you put the guys below him in a comfortable position and you don't miss Nick as much because these guys are better with a table setter? Or is Nick so valuable that you can kind of downplay that need for a leadoff guy? I just still feel that too many outs were given away at the top of the order. But on the other hand, you got to address the defense as well. And I look back to that Cardinals series and balls that just barely eluded Almora that turned into, you know, big plays. And then not just Albert, but there were some plays in left field as well. I know later on they had Nick playing deeper and toward the gap. He got to some balls, but let's face it, he's not a true outfielder in that sense. He came up as an infielder. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I just think that the production at the top of the order is too glaring to ignore.
You know, so much of that is about developing your own players. When it comes to the Cubs, you've obviously seen a couple of first-round draft picks kind of fall short, I guess, or just kind of plateau. And circling back to Addison Russell here, from a baseball standpoint, do you feel like the Cubs think they failed to develop him, or that he just never quite bought in enough, that he was never quite clicked in enough? We certainly saw gaffes on the field and in base running and just kind of a plate approach that would check out at times.
Yeah, I think in some cases that 2016 season kind of hurt him. And yours truly included, thinking he had a chance to become another Barry Larkin type guy. I didn't think MVP type, but certainly a guy who could be a really a deluxe run producer at shortstop, and it just didn't crystallize, and maybe there was too much taken for granted that he was on his way, and there was too much trust involved, because of the last 3 years he was just overmatched, and you saw a lot of feeble contact, sort of like what Hayward went through a few years ago. It just seems not right for a lot of reasons, and I think there was the combination there, and he's not the only one who was struggle in terms of not ascending in his development.
Gonzo, before we let you go, what do you think of the timetable now? Now that we're heading to the winter meetings, they've made some of these decisions. I don't know that they're going to spend a ton of money, but when do they get moving on some of this stuff to try to maybe beat the market?
I think they're trying hard. You know, they don't wait quite a bit on certain things. In the case of bottom feeding, I can still see them doing that. You know, but I think there's so many glaring needs that they need to address right away. I think the pitching department is one, but also addressing a contact hitter.
Gonzo, appreciate it. Great checking in with you. We'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.